News of the Church and Comment. President Hinckley makes historic visit to Europe. To the thrill of saints across Europe, President Gordon B. Hinckley made a historic tour of the continent in September. While there, the prophet dedicated a new temple, rededicated a refurbished one, and met with members and government officials in Ukraine, Russia, and Iceland, the first visits of a Latter-day prophet to these nations. There is strength throughout the world from those who have heard the restored gospel and accepted the truth, reported President Hinckley of his travels. Freiburg, Germany Temple. Ask the local saints and they'll tell you the dedication of a small, modest temple in 1985 became the catalyst that eventually opened the doors for the church in Eastern Europe. It was the final step in a series of events that started in the 1960s when church members in the German Democratic Republic were promised by President Thomas S. Monson, now First Counselor in the First Presidency, that they would have every blessing available to members elsewhere. Surrounded by thousands of tearful members who only a dozen years ago had limited contact with church leaders, President Gordon B. Hinckley rededicated the completely refurbished Freiburg, Germany Temple in one session on the 7th of September 2002. We thank thee for the manifestation of thy power when this temple was first built, that thou didst touch the hearts of men in a miraculous manner to make it possible to construct it and dedicate it to the blessing of the very many who have used it, prayed President Hinckley as he rededicated the temple. Bless this land and its people. May the nation go forward in peace and its people be prospered. And may thy work become a mighty force for good in this favored part of thy vineyard. The Freiburg Temple renovations took more than a year to complete and include significant structural upgrades, as well as a new baptistry, office space, and an angel Moroni statue. More than 6,000 members from throughout the temple district participated in the rededication. Busloads traveled from the Czech Republic, Hungary, Poland, and Ukraine. Special translation facilities in the nearby Freiburg Ward Meeting House allowed saints to hear proceedings in their own language. Proceedings were also broadcast to stake meeting houses in Dresden, Berlin, and Leipzig, Germany. Among those attending the rededication was Edith Kraus from the Prenzlau branch, New Brandenburg, Germany district. Sister Kraus joined the church before World War II, and over the years she and her husband Walter were instrumental in sustaining the church when saints were allowed only limited contact with church leaders. We came this long distance because the church is our joy, she said. We are examples that when the Lord wants something, nothing can stop him. The Hague, Netherlands Temple. Early on the morning of the 8th of September, faithful saints lined the walkway leading to the front door of the Hague, Netherlands Temple. As a car rolled to a stop and President Gordon B. Hinckley stepped out onto the sidewalk, the strains of "We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet" floated through the morning breeze and greeted the beloved leader who on that day dedicated the Hague Temple, the Church 114th. The faithful of this land have given so much for their testimony of the divine work, said President Hinckley in the dedicatory prayer. Bless to our memory all who have gone before, and bless mightily those who now walk in faith before thee. Dear Father, we plead with thee that this day of dedication may herald a new day in this great nation, he continued. Touch the hearts and the minds of the people of the land. Lead them from the pursuit of the things of the world to a new yearning for knowledge of thee and for things divine and eternal. The temple district includes the Netherlands, Belgium, and part of France. Saints fill the temple as well as meeting houses in Rotterdam and The Hague to participate in the services. We were very excited in 1999 to hear that the church was going to build a temple here, says Robert Kirschbaum, longtime member of the church in the Haarlem ward, The Hague, Netherlands stake. It seemed that immediately difficulties started, but we overcame them all, and now you have no idea how blessed we feel having a temple in the Netherlands. More than 32,000 guests, including local government and civic leaders, toured the open house held on the 17th through the 31st of August. The temple's construction workers and their families were also taken on a private tour of the finished building. There was to be no swearing, no smoking, and no alcohol on the job, and all our people showed respect and understanding for this, said Ad Backens, project manager for the construction company that built the temple. More and more I felt that what we were building was unique. This was going to be a temple in which members of your church would find inner peace, and I was convinced that this was really the greatest structure I have ever been able to build. Kiev, Ukraine. With record numbers in attendance, President Hinckley addressed a full auditorium in Kiev, Ukraine, on the 9th of September. More than 3,200 saints, government officials, and community members gathered for the first visit of a church president to this Eastern European nation. Telling the congregation, "Ye are a chosen generation," 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, President Hinckley said, "This is the greatest age in the history of the world when you and I have come to earth to partake of all the blessings that are available to us, and in a particular way, the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He admonished the congregation to cling to the word of wisdom, the blessings of the priesthood, and the law of tithing. "You cannot afford not to pay tithing, my brothers and sisters," President Hinckley said. "You have made a covenant with the Lord, and the Lord has the power to fulfill his promises." In conclusion, he expressed his love and said, "I just wish that I could come down and put my arms around every one of you and say, thank you." In a reception before the meeting, President Hinckley met with Ukrainian government officials, including Viktor Bondarenko, the chair of the State Committee for Religious Affairs. President Hinckley thanked Mr. Bondarenko for his kindness in assisting with matters pertaining to the church in Ukraine. He expressed particular appreciation for Mr. Bondarenko's help in arrangements for the church meeting that took place in the Ukraine Palace Concert Hall. Few religious events have been held in the government-owned hall. Moscow, Russia. It wasn't hard to recognize those en route to the Cosmos Hotel to hear President Hinckley on the 10th of September. Men in white shirts and women in skirts with scriptures tucked under their arms thronged metro stations around Moscow. In all, more than 2,000 people packed three halls, anticipating instruction from their prophet. "I never dreamed I would be in Moscow, Russia, speaking to a large group of this size," President Hinckley said. "Thank you for coming, for traveling to be here. It is a great day." He admonished members to be not faithless, but believing. John chapter 20, verse 27. "Believe in God. Go to him in prayer as his sons and daughters. You have divinity in you. Believe in him. Worship him in spirit and truth," he said. He encouraged youth to hold fast to the gospel and to prepare for missions. He also encouraged members to be good citizens and strengthen their land. "When the meeting was finished, I joined other people on the street in front of the entrance of the hotel. I did not want to go away immediately, but wanted to share my feelings with the other members of the church," said Marjana Dombrovskaya from the Moscow, Russia North District. "There were many people on the street. We were a community, not a crowd." Prior to the meeting with members, President Hinckley received a warm reception from local government and religious officials. Among these was Viktor Zorkalstev, the chair of the Public Unions and Religious Organizations Affairs Committee of the Russian Parliament. President Hinckley expressed his gratitude for the manner in which the Russian government has aided the establishment of the church in that nation. He also emphasized that missionaries who serve in Russia become the nation's best ambassadors when they return home. Reykjavik, Iceland. The weather had been blustery and rainy, but the clouds gave way and President Hinckley arrived in Reykjavik, Iceland on a calm autumn day. There he met with more than 200 enthusiastic saints on the 11th of September. Speaking in Iceland's only church meeting house, President Hinckley encouraged the congregation to strengthen their marriages, live the word of wisdom, pay tithing, and share the gospel. He praised early Icelandic members of the church who immigrated to Utah in the 19th century in the infancy of the church. He also praised the modern pioneers whose faith and diligence are helping the church grow in Iceland. While in Reykjavik, President Hinckley paid a courtesy visit to Olafur Ragnar Grimsson, the head of state for Iceland. They met at President Grimsson's residence, a small complex of gleaming white buildings with red roofs surrounded by lush green lawns. The two discussed the immigration of early members of the church from Iceland to Utah. Their journey to Utah required extraordinary courage and strength, observed President Grimsson. He remembered fondly his 1997 visit to Utah and noted how impressed he was with the manner in which the descendants of early Icelandic pioneers have retained their ties to the land of their forebears. President Hinckley spoke of the church's emphasis on the family, of the growth of the church in the world, and of the importance of building strong local leadership. "We are a Christian people," he said, "who are trying to act like Christians." New temples announced. The First Presidency has announced plans to construct new temples in Curitiba, Brazil, and Panama City, Panama. The Curitiba, Brazil temple will serve more than 42,000 Latter-day Saints in a temple district that will include stakes from the Brazilian stakes of Parana and Santa Catarina. This temple will be the fifth in Brazil. Other temples are in São Paulo, Campinas, Porto Alegre, and Recife. Members of the church in Panama enthusiastically welcomed the news of the first temple to be built in their country. The Panama City, Panama Temple District will serve approximately 22,200 Latter-day Saints in Panama. Specific locations and groundbreaking dates for the two temples are yet to be announced. The First Presidency has also announced the location for the San Antonio, Texas Temple. It will be built at Stone Oak Parkway and Hardy Oak Boulevard in San Antonio. Temple construction is expected to begin early this year. This temple will be the fourth in Texas. Programs commemorate September 11th by Lisa Ann Jackson. It was a blustery gray day in New York City as thousands gathered at Ground Zero to commemorate the first anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Similar groups gathered at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., in a field in Pennsylvania, and in services around the world. Church leaders and members joined in honoring the victims and survivors of a day that, according to President James E. Faust, changed forever the way we live our lives. People thronged Temple Square in Salt Lake City to remember the events of September 11th in a noontime service. President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the First Presidency, conducted the meeting, and members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the Quorums of the 70, and the General Auxiliary Presidencies were present for the service. President Gordon B. Hinckley was out of the country. Calling the attacks a pernicious assault and evil conspiracy, President Faust, second counselor in the First Presidency, addressed the congregation. "The greatest tragedy of it all was the loss of human life. All were innocent. Over 2,800 were killed with malice aforethought. The death of even one person among our citizenry is incalculable." President Faust reminded listeners that the United States is a blessed land, and with those blessings come responsibilities. "God Almighty established this land," he said. "He raised up giants among men as our founding fathers. They acted for us, the people, who were and who remain sovereign. The motto stamped in our coins, 'In God we trust,' must also be stamped in our hearts and minds." The Tabernacle Choir provided several musical selections, including arrangements of "Nearer My God to Thee," "The Lord is My Shepherd," and "The Lord's Prayer." Emotions were tender in the congregation as the choir concluded with "America the Beautiful." Earlier that day, President Monson spoke at a community interfaith gathering in Salt Lake City, among with other community leaders of Christian, Islamic, and Jewish faiths. He counseled listeners to remember those who died, those who survived, and those who worked tirelessly after the attacks. He also highlighted the role that faith has played in the aftermath of the attacks. Amidst the fear, the sorrow, the pain, and the suffering, a mighty miracle occurred, a fusion of faith, even a pattern of prayer, as Americans turned not to dial 911, but rather dropped to their knees and looked heavenward to God for help, President Motson said. In Washington, D.C., the Mormon Choir of Washington, D.C., held a memorial concert at Arlington National Cemetery on the 10th of September and at the Washington, D.C. Temple Visitor Center on the 14th of September. The choir was accompanied by the Southern Virginia University Orchestra and included soloists David Glenn Hatch, Erica Hatch, and Liz Smith. Two members of the church perished in the attack in Washington, D.C. Brady Howell and Rhonda Rasmussen were at work at the Pentagon when an aircraft collided with the building. Along with four other victims at the Pentagon, Sister Rasmussen's remains were never identified, and she was honored in a special ceremony held by the military at Arlington National Cemetery on the 12th of September. There, the military buried all human remains that could not be identified. Brother Howell's widow, parents, and siblings attended a national memorial service at the Pentagon on the 11th of September, Brother Howell's alma mater. Syracuse University also created the Brady Howell Community Service Initiative in his honor as a means of not only remembering this outstanding American, but as a way of continuing his dedicated service to community and country, according to the university's website. The New York Stake sponsored a memorial fireside on the 8th of September. Stake President Brent J. Belknap offered remarks and various musical selections focused on the atonement and the redemptive power of the Savior. The Stake also opened all three of its buildings on the 11th of September at the request of New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He asked that all religious edifices be opened to the public that day. The Stake Center carried the broadcast of the church's remembrance service held in Salt Lake City, as well as rebroadcast of last year's memorial service. The New York Stake also issued a statement thanking members of the church for their outpouring of support during the past year. We express our heartfelt gratitude to literally thousands of church members around the world who so generously contributed of themselves following the tragic events of September 11th, 2001. Your example of Christ-like love and service has blessed many lives. We unite with you in expressing our faith and hope in a loving Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. Three members of the church died in the attacks on the World Trade Center. Yvonne Lewis Carpio was at work on the 107th floor of One World Trade Center that day. Mary Alice Wallstrom and her daughter Carolyn Meyerboog were on board the first plane to strike the World Trade Center. Sister Wallstrom's son Norman and grandson Nate of the Kaysville 17th Ward, Kaysville, Utah East Stake, attended the service held at Ground Zero. "I'm glad I came," said Nate Wallstrom in an interview with the Deseret News, "because it is a time to reflect on the lives of my grandmother and my aunt. Now we'll be able to take back what we saw here to our family. It looks almost like a cemetery, like sacred ground." At a ceremony on Kaysville, Utah on the 11th of September, community members broke ground for a monument park honoring Sister Wallstrom, Sister Meyerboog, and Brother Howell, all of whom had ties to the community. Note, Lisa Ann Jackson is a member of the Church Magazine staff. End of note. Comment. Call for articles. Do you have parents whose lifestyles are contrary to the principles of the gospel? What insights can you share to help others successfully deal with such a situation? Send your responses by the 1st of March, 2003, to Ensign, 24th floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3224, or to cur-editorial-ensign at ldschurch.org. Clearly mark your submission, Parents, and on the top of your submission, write your name, address, telephone number, ward, and stake or branch and district. While we cannot acknowledge receipt of individual responses, authors whose submissions are selected for publication will be notified. If you would like your manuscript returned, please enclose a self-addressed, stamped envelope and allow up to a year. Thanks for video. Although my family is grown, I wanted to view the new video by President Gordon B. Hinckley. President Hinckley speaks to children through new video, July 2002, page 75. I ordered it, enjoyed it, and then watched it a second time. What a sweet teaching message to primary-age children from a prophet of God. The following Sunday, I took the video to church and shared it with a family for their family home evening. When it was returned, I shared it again, and it is now in a second family's home for the benefit of their little ones. What a joy the gospel is. It provides the way to fortify ourselves and our families. Thank you, President Hinckley, for making this available. Charlie Carter, Louisville, Kentucky. Update. In a descriptive paragraph with the new area presidency assignments chart on pages 76 through 77 of the September Ensign, it was stated that all presidency members belong to the quorums of the 70. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, president of the Philippines area, and Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, president of the Chile area, are members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. President Hinckley offers comfort. President Gordon B. Hinckley released the following statement of condolence and comfort on the anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Today, the world remembers the tragic events of September 11th, 2001. We are still shocked and dismayed at the infamy of those cowardly attacks. During the past year, we have come to know the heroic acts of men and women whose courage and selflessness were manifest on that terrible day. So many lost their lives. So many friends and families have been deprived of dear ones. Today we pause to remember and join in tribute to those whose lives were taken and to those who have carried on so bravely in their absence. We know that much good has come of these dreadful circumstances. From the smoke and ashes of New York, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, and other areas of the world has arisen a greater sense of unity and purpose in ridding the earth of evil and providing for the freedom and security of all people. We endorse the righteous efforts of God-fearing people everywhere in this important endeavor. May our Father in heaven smile upon us all, comfort those who continue to mourn, and guide the leaders of nations in the quest for justice and liberty, is our sincere prayer. End of News of the Church and Comment.